You're listening to This Is How We See It with your host, Eric Lee. The show where we say it like we see it.
Thanks for tuning into the show. Welcome to it. I'm Eric Lee, and I'm alone in the studio today. For those of you who are fans of the show, you know I did a show alone a couple of months ago when I had something on my mind. And today I've got a lot on my mind today, so I just decided to come on in and kind of talk one-on-one today. First of all, let's start talking about the Grammys. I watched a little bit of the Grammys. I didn't watch all of it, but I watched a little bit of it, and about an hour of it. And I've got a few things to say about it. Number one, now I usually like Adele, but I did not enjoy Adele's performance. It was something a little off about it. A lot of times to me, and you know, I'm no prodigy, but it kind of seemed that she was off key a couple of times. Her notes were kind of wrong there, for especially in the beginning of the show. Now, you know, I am a fan of music, and so I do understand that, you know, they can't be perfect all the time. I mean, they're human. You know, they are celebrities, and, you know, they make a lot of money, you know, singing, but, you know, some things happen, you know, and, you know, they might be sick, and, you know, those of us who, you know, are human and get sick know that, you know, sometimes when I get sick, I can't even talk. Like, my voice is so hoarse that I can't even talk sometimes when I get sick. So I certainly understand, you know, about, you know, them having an off night. And to me personally, I think that she was having an off night that night. Beyonce did a great performance. I was a little confused. I will say I was a little confused about Beyonce's performance at first. Like I was like, is she there? Is she not? Is it a hologram? Like, what is it? Like it was a little bit confusing for me. Then I didn't understand, you know, was she supposed to be Lady Liberty? I don't know. Maybe I missed it, but she sounded fantastic. And, you know, so she always sounds fantastic to me and always does a great job. There's some, you know, discrepancies. There's some talk about her not ever winning album of the year. Now, I didn't know that Beyonce never won album of the year, which is kind of strange to me, seeing, you know, her popularity and all, and, you know, but they said that she has never won album of the year. And I remember when Adele won album of the year, and I think this is Adele's, what, second or third time or something like that, that she actually made a statement and said, you know, what does Beyonce have to do to win album of the year? Which I thought, you know, was noble of her. I will say though, when I think back to, you know, artists like Kanye West, because as you know, Kanye West, I think Kendrick Lamar, I might be, or was it Frank Ocean? I can't remember. And Justin Bieber were all boycotting the Grammys because they said that they don't normally recognize young artists or artists of color. I always have a problem when I hear people say, you know, I should have won. You know, like what makes you think that you should have won? You know, I have a problem with people tooting their own horn, like, you know, oh, and as I said last week, Kanye West has 21 Grammys. That was just astonishing to me. I didn't even know that he had that many Grammys, but it's like, you have 21 Grammys. Like, I just don't think that he should be boycotting, you know, the Grammys, and he has 21 of them. So you've been recognized 21 times by this show or by this Academy or whatever, you know, they call it. I thought it very strange to understand that Beyoncé has never won Album of the Year. Now, if I understand correctly, which, you know, I think the premise of the Grammys is that it rewards artistry and not necessarily album sales, which, you know, I think that, you know, okay. But and that's what people are saying. They're saying, okay, well, Adele, you know, she had a good album, but was it art? And people are saying that. And I didn't listen to all of Adele's album, and I didn't listen to all of Beyoncé's album. I do have a song or two from that I downloaded from the Lemonade album, but and so people are kind of questioning why it is, especially on this Lemonade album, that if the awards are about artistry, then why wasn't Beyoncé's album, which apparently, you know, and I'm, you know, saying what other people are saying, that her album was more artful than Adele's album. So, you know, but you know, I don't know. And you know, it was a touching speech that Adele did to Beyoncé. And, you know, I saw Beyoncé crying. Could have been hormones because, you know, she's pregnant. And congratulations again, Beyoncé and Jay-Z. And hopefully, you know, she delivers a healthy, healthy baby. I'm sure Jay-Z probably wants a boy. I'm not sure, but, you know, he's got a girl. He's got Blue Ivy. And I'm pretty sure, you know, that he, you know, being a man, most fathers want a son. But so I thought that was very odd that, you know, that to find out, number one, that she has never won Album of the Year. Very interesting. I think she's won it twice because I think I read that. What is that girl's name? Okay, I can't think of her name, but the country, a young girl that she's also won it twice. Taylor Swift, that's her name. Thank God, Taylor Swift. That they've both won Album of the Year twice. Never heard a Taylor Swift album all the way through. So, you know, I really can't say whether or not I agree with it or not. But yeah, it's a lot going on. And Chance the Rapper, I have never heard of Chance the Rapper before until I think I saw him in a commercial. But, you know, I'm not a rap fan. And so he won Best New Artist. And what's interesting about him is that he has no label. And so, I think that was amazing to even get to the Grammys. You know, along with other mainstream artists and not be backed by a label. And I think it proves, you know, that with hard work, you know, you can achieve your dream. Now, I will say this. I think that without a label, I think it's much harder. I certainly think it's much harder for, you know, artists to kind of make it or to kind of break in the industry without one. But certainly, you know, and apparently it is not impossible. So a lot of people talking about, is he a Christian rapper? I don't know. Again, I don't really know his music like that. But, you know, me, you know, I'm all about Christianity. I'm all about, you know, singing about God because he's very important in my life. And so it could just be that he's a rapper that loves the Lord and wants people to know that, you know, that he loves the Lord. So Katy Perry, first of all, it was weird what she was wearing. I was looking at some of the after show. And one of the guys said that Katy Perry's outfit was tragic, which was interesting to me because I was like, okay. But I turned it off right when she performed, right when she was starting to perform. I didn't really like the song. I'm not a big Katy Perry fan anyway. I don't dislike her, but I don't necessarily like her either. But Yeah, I kind of turned it off then. My favorite performance, I think, was, and I can't think of the country young lady's name, but she sang the song with the guy that talks about when once he was 7 years old and he goes through the whole thing. I think they're from Denmark or something, Copenhagen, Denmark. But I think that that was the best performance for me. I just thought it was very artistic. I thought they sounded great together. And yeah, I think I enjoy that. I also like The Weeknd's performance as well. I thought that he was pretty good too. Not a big Weeknd fan, but you know, I thought that that he did a great job. I will say though that the Grammys, they're different now. I can remember watching the Grammys and just like enjoying the whole, you know, the whole show. And then I remember, you know, seeing it and being like, oh, like this is totally a waste of my time. But I think they're trying to come back now and you know, and be the show that that we used to like and love. I heard a lot of people on Facebook. I read a lot of people on Facebook saying that they were not going to be watching this year. One guy even said something about, you know, it's been terrible for the last couple of years and he wasn't watching it. But, you know, OK. Yeah. So congratulations to all the artists who won Grammys. I Layla Hathaway, I saw won two Grammys this year. I can't remember what it was for, but I saw that she did. And, you know, a lot of those Grammy ceremonies actually don't get televised. Like, remember when they used to televise, like, the gospel part of the Grammys? Because I remember seeing BB and CeCe Winans up there performing, you know, at the Grammys several times. But now, for some reason, you know, they don't televise the gospel performance on it. So, congratulations to all of the Grammy nominees and the winners, because truly, you know, I do believe that, you know, it is an honor to be nominated. And, you know, I think it, you know, I think it brings your project to the forefront to even be nominated. Cause I know personally that sometimes that I've watched the Grammys and, you know, when I see, you know, who's in the categories and I'm like, oh, who is that? And I just write the name down and then I go to iTunes or I go to the internet and I look the person up. So I think, you know, even though you don't win, you know, to be nominated is an honor. So congratulations to all. I want to shift a bit. The last couple of weeks have been very troubling to me. What's happening in our government, what's happening in politics is very troubling to me. I've said on this show before, we are not a political show. We do talk about current news and what's happening right now with our current president is very troubling to me. And I want to talk about it. I want to get some stuff off of my chest. As you all know, Trump had imposed a temporary travel ban for people coming into the U.S. from seven particular Muslim countries. Now, people are saying it's a Muslim ban. You know, the White House is saying it's not a Muslim ban. It's a travel ban. And then it was not a ban. And then it was a ban, you know, so we don't know what it is. But the chaos that it caused because it wasn't implemented correctly, the chaos that was there at the airports. Can you imagine like getting off a plane and being told that you actually either number one had to go back to where you came from, or you know, hey, you know, you guys have to come with us, you know, to be able to have left the country and then not be able to return the way you came, the same way you left, it was just mind-blowing to me how this was so poorly implemented. It just did not make sense to me. We're going to take our first break. We will be right back in just a moment. You are listening to This Is How We See It. When you start living in this Hey guys, I'm back. Before I went to break, I was talking about this travel ban of, you know, people coming from seven Muslim countries and how chaotic it was. And I was watching the news, and there was a Syrian family that for some particular reason voted for Trump. And let me sidebar there. You know, you should vote for who you want to vote for. You know, just because that I don't agree with it doesn't mean that you, you know, should not have voted for the person who you thought would be, you know, the best person for the job. And this particular Syrian family had voted for Trump, but they were affected by this ban because some of their family members now who have green cards. So they had green cards, they had proper visas, they, you know, and as I understand it, it takes like 2 years to be properly vetted for entry into the United States legally. And this family went, you know, about it the right way, and they were here legally, and some of their family members were turned away at Philadelphia International Airport. And now this family had been living in the U.S. for like over 20 years. I mean, they've been here for a long time. It wasn't like they just came over that night. You know, they had been here for a long time. And, you know, they were talking about regretting their decision to support Trump. Now, again, to me, if you should have voted for who you wanted to vote for, the thing that gets me about people is that Trump already told you who he was and what kind of president he would be during his campaign. Like, who doesn't remember the chaos of his campaign? And so to think that, to me, it's silly to think that he would be anything different. Like I heard a lot of people say, well, you know, that was the campaign. You know, that was what he said to get elected. But in my mind, I'm like, OK, but he already told you who he was. He told you what he was going to do. And you voted for him anyway. Like, why would you not believe him when he said the things that he said? And so it's odd to me that people are now coming and saying, but I voted for you. But Trump is no different, people, than the Trump on the campaign. What, how is he different? How is he different now? He's not different now at all. He is the same person. And the agenda that he talked about on his campaign, he's following through with it. Now, albeit it's chaos, but he's following through. He hasn't turned just because, you know, you wanted him to turn and you wanted it to be just, you know, well, he's just that kind of person on the campaign. But he's no different. And so, you know, I always find it interesting to hear people when they say, you know, oh, well, you know, but I voted for you. Yeah, you did. You voted for him, and everything that he said he would do, he's now doing. Several federal judges put a halt to the travel ban, saying that parts of it was unconstitutional. Now, I've said this before on my show. I do not think that most Americans are against some type of immigration. I'm not against some type of immigration because, you know, and I will say it again, I just don't think that people should be able to come into this country illegally. You know, I come legally. I know people that are, you know, born in other countries and they're here legally. You know, I work with a lot of people that are here legally from other countries. And so, it's interesting to me to hear, you know, from this White House and from some of his supporters when they say, you know, if you're against a travel ban, then you're against immigration. And that's not true. And I think that you will find that most Americans are for immigration. Because again, you shouldn't just be able to come into this country all willy-nilly. We can't go into other people's countries all willy-nilly, and they should not be able to come in here all willy-nilly. But the thing about it is, I support immigration too, but I don't want it to be chaos. Another problem that I have is, why the Muslim countries? Like, why single the Muslims out? Like, now, if he would have said, you know what, we're going to be cutting down on, you know, people coming into this country from any country, not just, you know, these seven Muslim countries, but from any country. You know, if you're not coming here legally, then you're not going to be able to come in. I think that people would have supported that. But my thing is, why single out a particular group of people? And that is the problem that I have with it. Listen, people, you've heard me say this so many times. When you start allowing one group of people to be singled out or to be discriminated against, watch out. Because if he gets away with doing it with them, then what's to stop him from doing it with another group of people? We have to nip that in the bud. See, and people are okay with it. See, people think it's cute. You know, they're okay with it because it's not them. And I've said so many times, you know, when things aren't affecting people personally, they don't care about it. So, you know, people are okaying this Muslim, you know, singling out, you know, people from these Muslim countries because they're not Muslim. But again, when you start to allow one group of people to be discriminated against, you know, who's to say that he won't come for your group of people? And because, you know, because the precedence is set. Well, you let them do it for Muslims. You let me do it for Muslims. Well, it was okay for Muslims. So now, why is it not okay for, let's say, Africans? Why is it not okay now for Jews? You know, why is it not okay now for gays? You know, we are going down a slippery slope, people. We are going down a slippery slope when we allow any group of people to be singled out. You run the risk of your group being singled out. And let's just say, you know, Trump is not in office, you know, after 4 years or whenever. And the next president says, well, you know, y'all allowed Trump to do a Muslim ban. You allowed him to target a group of people. Now I want to target a group of people. That's what I always say about, you know, letting people set precedents. If if I have to, like I've heard people say about free speech, like if I have to, I may not like your speech, but I respect it because if I take yours away, you might take mine away. So I don't have to listen. You know, you have hate speech, you know, and I don't like it, so I won't listen to it. But I respect your right to be able to do it. And that's how I think we have to look at this. We have to look at it this way, you know, and I think a lot of it, I think, is Trump just really trying to see, you know, how far he can go. As you know, the federal judges, when they put a halt on the travel ban, that he appealed to the Ninth Circuit Federal Appeals Court, and they ruled against him. And, you know, again, so the federal judge, you know, put a halt to it, and then Trump didn't like that decision, so he appealed to the Ninth Circuit, and they ruled against him, and they said, yes, some of this is unconstitutional. And I would think that, you know, that the thing that he should be doing is, okay, well, let's go back to the drawing board. Let's take what the federal appeals court said, and then let's redraft the order, you know, based on, you know, the information that they gave us. Instead, he tweets in all caps, "See you in court. The security of our nation is at stake." And, you know, what I understand to be part of the problem here is that there is no imminent threat to national security. So, you know, and again, I'm not a political analyst, and I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not, you know, I don't claim to be. But apparently, you know, I guess there needs to be some type of imminent threat, you know, and I do know that one of the judges asked, you know, do you have some type of information? Did you get some type of intelligence that said that there is some type of terror plot, you know, for the people from these seven Muslim countries? And the answer apparently was no. And that was like one of the issues that they had with this travel ban. So a lot of people are saying that they think he's going to take it to the Supreme Court. You know, I don't know, but you know, I think that we are going down a slippery slope here. I really do. And you know, I'm not a Muslim, you know, I don't believe in, you know, what they believe in, but I respect their right to believe it. So we will see what happens there. We're going to take another break. We will be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us. Hey guys, I'm back. Before I went to break, I was talking about Trump's travel ban from seven Muslim countries. I want to read an article that someone wrote into our newspaper here in North Carolina, the News and Observer. And the title of it is "Trump Diminishing Rights." And it reads, "The first week of the Donald Trump presidency has come and gone. Some are outraged by his actions that led to the president of Mexico canceling his visit. Some are outraged because his press secretary has already lied to the public. Some are outraged because of his cabinet picks. But what should be seen as most outrageous is the president's desire to prioritize Christians over other religions for refugee purposes. As an American Christian, I could not be more disappointed. Political policies of different parties are always going to be controversial, but this is much different. By favoring one religion over another, we must now see if the First Amendment will be enough to stop our president. If this policy is allowed to stand, how many more rights will our president be allowed to diminish? Refugees are literally running for their lives. Where they are fleeing is dangerous. Where they are fleeing to is dangerous. The fact that they are of one religion or another is not important. As a Christian, I am called to fight for the oppressed. I am called to help the less fortunate. I cannot be a part of discrimination. Love thy neighbor, no exceptions. And this was written by Cody Jones of Greensboro. And, you know, it just kind of echoes what, you know, I've been talking about. And, you know, about, you know, singling people out. And he's absolutely right about the Christian thing. And, you know, I talked about this on the show, you know, about a couple of weeks ago about people saying that Trump is God's anointed. And I'm still waiting. Again, I'm still waiting for some type of message of God to come out of Trump's mouth. If you are God's anointed, anointed, as we said before, means you were sent by God for his purpose, then to me, you will have the message of God in your mouth. And I don't see that coming from Trump. And so I really need people to stop saying, you know, oh, he's anointed and all of this, you know, this other stuff. Because a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. You cannot be an apple tree calling yourself an orange. You cannot be an orange tree calling yourself a pear. What you see is what you get. There's a scripture in the Bible that says that out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You talk about what's in your heart. So you can't keep telling me that somebody's a Christian. You can't keep telling me that he's a Christian when you see these this discrimination, when you hear the stuff that comes out of his mouth. That is not like Christ. Jesus Christ didn't. He never discriminated against people. As a matter of fact, he ate with sinners. And as a matter of fact, his disciples spoke against him eating with sinners. You know, why are you over there eating with unclean people? And Jesus told him, he said, look, how am I going to reach these people if I'm separated from them? I've been called to bring salvation to these people that you guys are shunning. Jesus didn't come to bring division. So what I don't understand is how a person who talks about division is anointed by God. I don't get it. Stephen Miller, who is one of Trump's advisors, and I just found out that this man is 31 years old, by the way, started going on TV and basically saying that the Ninth Circuit Court had no right to deny the president the travel ban and how the courts are not supreme. So he goes on national TV and basically says, and I'm paraphrasing, basically said, the powers of the president are substantial and should not be questioned. Really? Really? That's interesting because last I heard, and again, I'm not a political scholar, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a law scholar, but last I heard, the president is not above the law. His powers can and should be questioned. Political experts are saying that this kind of speech sounds like Vladimir Putin and Russian speech. See, all of those who voted for him, they thought that stuff was cute in the campaign. You know, you thought it was funny. People kept saying, oh, you know, he's only saying that to get elected. But as I said before, he basically told you what kind of president he would be in the campaign. And I kept hearing people say, anybody but Hillary. Oh, really? Anybody but Hillary. And this is what we got. Okay. General Michael Flynn, and this is this just totally disturbs me. The intelligence agencies are now confirming that they have proof that Michael Flynn, who was the national security advisor, had telephone conversations with Russia before Trump even got elected. So Trump wasn't even president, which means that Michael Flynn was not the national security advisor at the time. Now, some background. Obama imposed heavy sanctions on Russia when he found out and got proof that Russia had interfered with our elections by hacking the DNC's database and releasing some of Hillary Clinton's emails. Okay. And so Obama imposed sanctions on Russia. You know, come on. And let's just talk about how scary that is. That they would interfere in our elections, and it's proof they did it to help Trump win. And I remember I heard Trump say, well, you know, they didn't hack the voting machines. No, but they hacked people's minds. They hacked people's minds, and with Trump coming out and saying things like, see, I told you she was a crook. Lock her up. I told you. And Michael Flynn, lock her up. Now look at him. They hacked people's minds, because if I can smear you enough, and if I can throw enough dirt on you, I can discredit you. So I don't want to hear any more about, well, they didn't hack the voting, you know, machines. No, but they hacked the people's minds that went to the voting machine. Now, I've said this before, that I think Obama set Trump up. I really do, because I think he knew that Trump would lift the sanctions, and he wanted everyone to see that he was indeed in league with Putin. Because I think Obama imposed sanctions like a couple of days before he was to leave office. And I just thought, and when he did it, I just kind of thought to myself, this is a setup. Obama is, because he knew, I think he knew that Trump wouldn't do it. He knew that Trump wasn't going to do anything about it. And so I think he set him up so that we can see that, hey, this man is in bed with Putin, because now he's easing the sanctions that I impose. They have taped conversations of Michael Flynn telling the Russians not to worry about the sanctions, because when Trump gets into office, he will deal with it. What kind of mess is that? Again, not only had Trump not been elected yet, but Flynn had not been appointed as the national security advisor. Why are you even talking to Russia, or any other country for that matter? Now, some people said, I heard Trump come on and said, well, you know, I didn't tell him to call Russia, but, you know, he was doing his job. Lies. He was not doing his job, because he was not in that position yet. That'd be like me going for an interview on a job, and then they say, well, you know what, you'll start next week, and then I show up the next day ready for work. Well, you told me that I had the job. Yes, but you haven't started yet. So no, Michael Flynn should not have been calling anyone, because he was not in the position. And it's so interesting to me how they were so sure that Trump was going to win. Isn't it interesting how they were so sure? You know why I think? Because they knew what Russia was doing all along. Trump has denied it. I don't believe him. Experts are saying that he possibly violated the Logan Act, which is a United States federal law that forbids unauthorized citizens from negotiating with foreign governments having a dispute with the U.S. Now, you know, we've always had a dispute with Russia. And again, Michael Flynn was not the national security advisor when he had conversations with the Russians about sanctions. I don't care if you know, he knew that if Trump would become president, that, you know, he would become the national security advisor. But when you picked up that phone and had that phone call and that conversation with the Russians, you were not the national security advisor. This past Monday night, Michael Flynn resigned his position, which he should have. Now, there's talk about whether or not Trump knew about the conversation that Michael Flynn had with the Russians. Now, is there anyone under the sound of my voice who believes that this man, Michael Flynn, woke up one morning and said, I think I want to call the Russians today? Do you really think that he arbitrarily woke up and said that he was going to have a conversation with Russia without Donald Trump knowing? I don't believe it, and I will not believe it. There are, especially the Democrats, they are calling for an investigation, and more Republicans are demanding it. And they believe that, you know, something's up. Something is up with Donald Trump and Russia. And here's the thing. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this, but the former acting attorney general, Sally Yates, remember, she's the one that when Trump imposed that travel ban, she advised her DOJ lawyers to ignore it. And remember, he fired her. She told the White House back in January about this conversation between Flynn and Russia, and Trump did absolutely nothing about it. And I'm going to tell you this, if the Washington Post had not ran this story, then the American people would have never known that this went on, because the President of the United States did nothing. Now they're trying to say that Mike Pence, the vice president, that he didn't know anything about it. And I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I have a hard time believing that. If the president and his cabinet knew about it, why wouldn't Mike Pence, who was part of the cabinet, really, why wouldn't he know about it? And they fired Flynn because they said, oh, well, you know, Trump said, oh, well, I didn't fire him because I thought what he did was wrong. I fired him because he lied to the vice president. You saw nothing wrong with this man having a conversation with Russia about easing sanctions with our enemy. And you saw absolutely nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. And the thing that blows it even more is that if the Washington Post had not broke this story, it would have been business as usual. Trump would have covered it up, and we would have known absolutely nothing about it. We'll be back in just a moment. When you can start living in the Thanks for coming back with us. Talking before we went to break about the Russian connection between Donald Trump and Donald Trump and the Russians. Donald Trump, who loves to tweet, so interesting to me. I've never seen a president who loves to tweet so bad. And again, how does he have time to tweet? I mean, you've got a country to run, and you're basically governing on Twitter. That is just amazing. So we were talking about Michael Flynn and about, you know, the evidence and the proof that he was talking to Russia about sanctions before he was the national security advisor. So Donald Trump, when all this came out, takes to Twitter, and here's what he tweets. This Russian connection nonsense is merely an attempt to cover up the many mistakes made in Hillary Clinton's losing campaign. So he has basically blamed it on Hillary. Hillary is not even running for president. You won. Hillary is really sort of in hiding, if you ask me. And now you have come here and blamed, because it's always somebody else's fault. Instead of getting down, instead of being outraged about the conversation, he's not outraged about the what happened. He's blaming it on Hillary. Here's another tweet. Information is being illegally given to the failing New York Times and Washington Post by the intelligence community, NSA and FBI, just like Russia. Really? So you are not concerned. You're not concerned about Michael Flynn having a conversation before he's the national security advisor about sanctions. You're concerned about that it got leaked. Are you guys listening? Are you following? You're not outraged about what happened. You're outraged that it got out. I don't get it. it's just the weirdest thing to me. When Fox News, now you know something's wrong when Fox News, now you know Fox News is mostly Republican, and when their news people start turning against you, you know that something is going on. Shepard Smith, who is a Fox News commentator, criticized Trump and basically said this: it's crazy what we're watching every day. It's absolutely crazy. He keeps repeating ridiculous throwaway lines that are not true at all, and sort of avoiding this issue of Russia as if we're some kind of fools for asking the question. Really? Your opposition was hacked and the Russians were responsible for it, and your people were on the phone with Russia on the same day it was happening, and we're fools for asking the question? No, sir. We have a right to know. You can call us fake news and put us down like children for asking questions on behalf of the American people. And he is so right. He is so right. Guys, you know, and I'm only 46 years old, but I've heard, you know, political analysts that have been covering politics for 30 years say, never seen anything like this. This is even different from Nixon, I heard. And, you know, it's like, he even said out of his own mouth, well, I don't think what Mike Flynn did was wrong. You don't think what Mike Flynn did was wrong. And if he hadn't already done it, I would have told him to do it anyway. I didn't tell him to do it, but I would have. You would have told someone who is not yet in the position yet to call Russia and talk about sanctions. Our enemy. And I was watching, I think CNN, and one of the guys were saying that Russia is our enemy. Russia cannot be trusted. And people have long been suspicious of why it is that he will not say anything negative against Vladimir Putin. He will not say anything negative against Russia. He'll say things against the United States. If you recall, he was being interviewed and someone said, you know, but he's a killer. Vladimir Putin's a killer. And the president of the United States response was, oh, like we haven't killed people here. Really? That's your response? It's not like we're so great. We kill people too. Wow. I bet you guys didn't know that while we were sleeping, while all of this was happening, the House of Representatives struck down an Obama regulation on background checks that sought to prevent those with mental disorders from owning a gun. How is it that you can say that you want to keep America safe, but you don't want any regulations over who can buy a firearm? My mind is blown once again. Once again, my mind is blown, you know, about this government and this Congress. It's absolutely incredible. We are in Black History Month. And as I think I told you guys, I don't know if it was last week or the week before that, Donald Trump has changed the name of Black History Month to African American History Month. Now, I don't have a problem with that. Some people are kind of, okay, it's been Black History Month for years now. But he has changed it. He said that he spoke with Black leaders. And they told him that Black people don't want to be called Black anymore. So he has changed it to National African American History Month. I want to talk about Emmett Till a little bit, which is like a sensational story that civil rights story that happened back in the 1950s. In 1955, Emmett Till was a 14-year-old Black boy from Chicago, Illinois. He came to Mississippi to visit relatives. And he and his cousins went to Bryant's grocery store one afternoon after picking cotton for refreshments. Till purchased bubble gum, and in later accounts, he was accused of either whistling at, flirting with, or touching the hand of the store's white female clerk and the wife of the owner, Carolyn Bryant. Now, stories vary. Depended on who you ask. Some people say he whistled at her. Some people said, you know, he touched her, whatever. 4 days later, at approximately 2:30 in the morning on August 28th, Roy Bryant, Carolyn's husband, and his half-brother, J.W. Malam, kidnapped Till from his uncle Moses Wright's home. They then beat the teenager brutally, dragged him to the bank of the Tallahatchie River, shot him in the head, tied him with barbed wire to a large metal fan, and shoved his mutilated body into the water. 14 years old, terrible way to die. His uncle Moses reported Till's disappearance to the local authorities, and 3 days later, his corpse was found and pulled out of the river. His face was so mutilated, it was beyond recognition. And the uncle only managed to positively identify him by the ring that was on his finger because it was engraved with his father's initials, LT. Needless to say, no one involved was ever convicted of this crime. Over six decades later, Over six decades after Till's brutal abduction and murder, in January 2017, Timothy Tyson, author of The Blood of Emmett Till and a senior research scholar at Duke University, revealed in a 2007 interview with Carolyn Bryant, she was now Carolyn Bryant Dunham because she had divorced and remarried, she admitted to him that she had lied about Till making advances towards her. She says that part's not true. According to Vanity Fair, she also told Tyson, nothing that boy did could ever justify what happened to him. And she admitted that she felt tender sorrow for his mother. you felt tender sorrow for telling a lie on a 14-year-old innocent boy because he was black. You feel tender sorrow. This boy was, I mean, you guys can go look it up. And his mother, Emmett Till's mother, they wanted a closed casket because, you know, his body was just so bloated and they beat him so bad. And she said, no. She said, I want this casket to be open because I want people to know what they did to my son. Beaten beyond recognition. And I saw, and I, you know, I'm sort of a squeamish person, but it was just amazing that so much rage was put into it over a lie. And then she's going to come, you know, for, you know, all these years, you know, later and say she lied. She needs to be arrested. She needs to be arrested for what she did. Because there was no need for it. Why even lie on him? But see, that's the kind of thing that happened back then. Because, you know, back then in the 50s and 60s, black people, you know, we weren't people. And so I encourage all of you to research this story and you know, and see what happened. Because I truly hope that, you know, something like this never happens again. And again, you know, just because it didn't affect you personally, you know, but he was somebody's son. Think about your son. That's all the time that we have for today. I want to thank all of you for listening in. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.